Does anyone else imagine that they're riding a horse or a cowboy when you sing that song? Or sitting around a campfire? That's kind of the, I get like the Roy Rogers vibe from that song a little bit. But that's okay, I like it. Anyways, Acts chapter 2 this evening. Join me if you would in the book of Acts, chapter number 2. It's interesting, we get Acts chapter 1 and 2 are, of course, obviously part of the book of Acts, but they kind of stand alone, as, at least in my mind and in my study for this series that we've been going through, looking at the New Testament church and what it means to be a New Testament church. And as we come to the end of chapter 2, we get a checkup, a health checkup, a wellness check, we would say, on what a healthy church looks like. And I want to remind you that as we read these verses, that the church wasn't healthy because 3,000 souls were added to it. The church was healthy before the 3,000 souls were added to it. God's not going to add to something that is dying. It's really important that we understand that as a church. And it's really important, church, that we understand and get the idea out of our head that the church is just some amorphous blob or general thing. You are the church. I am the church. If there is an issue in the church, the very first place that I must go to address the issue is my own heart. If the church is if it's a dying church, it's because of us. Not because that the buildings are falling apart, not because the buses won't run, not because of this or because of that. It's because of us, the church members. That's why I think it's important, if we don't get what the apostle, what Luke is laying out for us in Acts chapter 1 and Acts chapter 2, there is no point in moving on into Acts chapter number 3. There's no point in going any further unless we can come through here, and maybe, and we won't be the perfect church until we get to heaven and Jesus is there. But unless we understand what it takes to be a lively, living, active, loving, caring church, we can't expect God to add to it. We can't expect blessing. We can't expect to make an impact in our community. And perhaps it's just because of the lead up to Kids Blast and to we're right in the middle of our outreach opportunities, and that this is so sticks out so much in my head. But before the Lord will add to this place needs to be what it should be for the Lord. We need to be a healthy, active, loving church. So tonight we're going to do a church checkup. Acts chapter 2, verse 41, then they that gladly received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls. Praise the Lord. What a thought. Amazing. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. You can imagine these 3,000, some many might have had a quote-unquote religious background, but few of them would have known about the Jesus of the Old Testament, the Jesus, the Messiah, the Christ. Few of them would have been familiar with his ministry in relation to prophecy. And so the disciples had a big job ahead of them. They were added unto them. They continued steadfastly. Verse 43, and fear came upon every soul. And many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And all that believed were together and had all things common, and sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all the people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. There's a theme, I think, of, and not to get too far ahead of the message, when it comes to the local church, this New Testament church, there's a theme of the importance and the necessity of continuing. But there's also a theme of togetherness, of unity. And so And I want to look at this in these few moments we have this evening. Heavenly Father, thank you for the time. Be with a few moments again, and bless your word in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. I was reading about a gentleman that went to the doctor for a checkup. He went into his office and said, the doctor told the patient, and you might have heard a variation of this. He said, I have some good news and I have some bad news. The patient said, give me the good news. And the doctor said, well, they're going to name a disease after you. That's not what you want to hear on your health checkup, but I thought that was funny. That was funny. But I think we learned tonight in Acts chapter 2. So far in the book of Acts, we've learned and we've seen, we've given a view of the Holy Spirit's work in the church from the standpoint of a singular event, at His coming at the Feast of Pentecost, and the resulting sermon that Peter preached, and the preparation that the church put into it to be filled with the Spirit, to be following the Spirit of God, to be following the leading of God, and to speak as the Lord spoke to them. But now we're given a view of the work of the same work of the same Holy Spirit in the church from the standpoint of an ongoing everyday life. If you have a bookmark, would you mark Deuteronomy chapter 31 in your Bibles? And then we're going to make our way back to Acts chapter 2 once we get to Deuteronomy. But would you just mark that? That'll be in just a moment. We'll look there. Here we're being given a picture. When he uses the terms like continue steadfastly and daily, we're giving the picture of a living or group of people, the daily life in the early church, and we're shown the features that characterize the church that the Lord saw fit to add to this church daily. So we see the earmarks. So church, the early Christians learned quickly how to strengthen one another, these new believers. They depended on one another. They encouraged one another. They developed relationships that were difference-making. I want to make this statement. I hope you'll hear this statement this evening. A church will only be as healthy as those who attend. And I'm included. I'm including myself in this. Therefore, it is a necessity that those who are part of the body of Christ get a fair evaluation of their spiritual condition. When a congregation is healthy, it will grow spiritually and enjoy the benefits of a vibrant relationship with Jesus. And I'll remind you, this church in the book of Acts, this church at Jerusalem, was not healthy because 3,000 people were added. They were healthy before that they were added. I'd like to give you three marks of a healthy church, all right? And they're not going to be super deep, but I'm going to give them to you anyways. The first one is a healthy church is marked by a commitment to God. Well, that seems like a no-brainer. But I hope we understand that in this new church, these young believers, the risen Lord was central to all that was happening in the church. And I would hope we remind us, that's why we meet on Sundays. It's because we are celebrating. We celebrate every Sunday morning when we're corporately together. We're celebrating a risen Savior. He is alive. He's risen from the dead. That's why we meet on Sunday. The word translated continue steadfastly points to a purpose, a resolve, a determination. I want you to mark this if you take notes. If not, I'm going to say it several times tonight. I want us to understand that a healthy church doesn't happen by accident. A healthy church takes effort. A healthy church takes effort. What's the first thing we see when we think of a commitment to God? Well, there's a commitment to God's word. They continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine. Doctrine is what binds us together. It's what unites us together as a church. Amos 3, it talks about we are able to walk together because we agree on what the Bible says, and we believe what the Bible says about God, about His Word, about His Son. But not only is it a belief that we must have, we must believe right doctrine, we must also continue in that doctrine. through consistent personal time in God's Word. You could go to Psalms chapter 19 and verse number 10. You could go to Psalms chapter 119 and verse number 103. And it talks about different times where the psalmist, David writing, talks about how that the Word of God was sweeter to him than honey. And I believe it's Psalms 19:10 where it says it's more value than gold. And Job expressed his commitment to the Word of God in Job 23:12, where he said, "The words of his mouth, he esteemed the words of his mouth more than my necessary food." The Lord encouraged Joshua in Joshua chapter 1. Primary responsibilities, one of the primary necessities for Joshua to have success as he led during this transition time in the life of the children of Israel in Joshua chapter 1, was when God told Joshua in Joshua 1:8, "This book of the law shall not depart out of thy mouth, but thou shalt meditate therein day and night, that thou mayest observe to do all that is written therein, for then thou shalt make thy way prosperous, and then thou shalt have good success." A healthy church is devoted to sound doctrine. That sound doctrine is only found in the Word of God. We don't find that from a self-help group. We don't find that from a prayer, a church organization, any other writings than the perfectly preserved, pure Word of God. Albert Barnes, a familiar commentator perhaps, if you've ever studied for a lesson or a message or anything like that, a very familiar commentator said, "One of the evidences of conversion is a desire to be instructed in the doctrines and duties of Christianity and a willingness to attend the preaching and teaching of God's Word." He said, "Christians are hungry for Holy Spirit-inspired teaching, and they will make time to be exposed to it." What he's saying is the Christian who is devoted to the teaching of the Word of God goes to church. He prayerfully reads his Bible. He listens to God-honoring biblical Christian music, and he takes every opportunity possible to fill his eyes and his mind and his heart with the things of God. There's an eagerness of mind, an eagerness in our hearts to seek and hear what God's will is for him. We would say this way, the opposite of these young believers here in Acts chapter 2 would be those who walk out of church unmoved, who walk out of church unfed because they refuse to eat from the table prepared for them. The opposite would be those who walk out of church critical of the things of God. There's an eagerness in the mind of the healthy believer. The child of God devoted to the teachings of God's Word will willingly place himself in a position where he can be led by and hear from the Spirit of God. He walks into church with an anticipation and an expectancy that the Lord has something specifically for him. That's why I told you it takes effort. Commitment to the Word of God. Let's just be real honest. Just because we're here tonight doesn't mean you're committed to the things of God. Just because we're here doesn't mean you're committed to God. Just because you're here tonight doesn't mean you're saved. A healthy church, a growing church, is not marked by a commitment to commitment to God. A commitment to His Word, it takes effort. It's not just marked by a commitment to God's Word, but a commitment to prayer. Prayer ought to be woven into the fabric of church life. Even in our singing, we ought to sing in an attitude of prayer. Our men's meetings, our ladies' meetings, everything that we do when we meet together, there should be a time where we pray. We should take time. That's why we come on Wednesday nights. We take time together to pray, whether it's to commit a difficult matter to the Lord or whether it's to seek the mind of the Lord in prayer. We got to do that corporately. But in your personal time, in your family time, prayer ought to be normal. It ought to be the natural response when a problem arises or you know someone who's facing a difficulty. Prayer acknowledges our total dependence on the living God. On the living God. One man said, "A praying Christian may be busy with life, but as the Holy Spirit moves him, he takes a moment to pray. He makes time to pray with other believers for important issues in the church, issues in the home, and is certainly seeking the Lord's grace and peace and comfort in times of tragedy." It's a healthy church is committed to the Lord, committed to God, meaning that He is preeminent. through his word, through prayer, and then through verse 46 tells us through biblical worship. Through biblical worship. Look at verse 47. As 46 ends, it talks about how that they went house to house and did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Verse 47 tells us that they were praising God. That's a present participle, pointing to the ongoing common expression of praise to God. Man, you could just tell it's on their lips all the time. They were talking about how good God has been, how good God is, and how much God just loves us, and how much God loved us that he sent his son to die on the cross for us. And I can imagine at this point in the life of the church, after all these were saved, I can only imagine what their worship services were like, praising God, saying amen, singing songs, all of those different things that happen in a prayer and seeing in a worship service, and how that the songs and the preaching can often move our hearts and all these wonderful times. But I imagine that they had some wonderful worship services, but I also believe that this praising God wasn't just an evidence in their corporate times together. I think it seeped into their life and began oozing out in their daily lives, pointing others to the joy that they had found. Colossians 3 reminds us how we do that. How do we develop that kind of a consistent joy and praise? It takes effort. It takes effort to deliberately, Colossians 3 tells us, to set your affections on things above, not on things on the earth. It begins, if ye then be risen with Christ, seek those things which are above. The psalmist David wrote several times when he was in dire straits, dark situations, was determined to focus on the Lord. In Psalms chapter 57, verse number 7, he said, "My heart is fixed, O God. My heart is fixed. I will sing and give praise." And the interesting thing about that particular psalm is David wrote that in a cave while he was running from a jealous king. And even in that cave, he understood where the source of his praise came from, where the source of his singing came from. And even when we are in those dark places, Psalms 41, Psalms 40 is a familiar one about being in a pit, but even when we're in those caves of life like David was, we have to determine to be committed to be people of praise and people of joy. The first mark of a healthy church is a commitment to God. It's a commitment to his word, to praying together, to worshiping him. A mark of a healthy church, secondly this evening, a mark of a healthy church is commitment to God's people. I told you these are real deep tonight. They're right there in the text. It said they continued steadfastly. Verse 42, it's talking about fellowship. 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 You can't have fellowship with someone who's not here. Can't have fellowship with people when they aren't around. You can't be devoted. One author said it this way: you can't be devoted to the head, who is Christ, and at the same time cut ourselves off from the body. You can't be devoted to the head and at the same time cut ourselves off from the body. It's just common sense today, ladies and gentlemen. We live in a society where if you're going to have friends, you have to do what the Bible says. You have to show yourself friendly. I've yet to walk up to someone who I've never met, who I've never said anything to, and I've yet to been, oh, I need to go, I want to be that, that person just needs to be my friend. It doesn't just happen that way. It happens by developing a relationship. It takes effort on both parties to build relationships in the New Testament church. In the New Testament church. It takes effort. It speaks about our fellowship. The New Testament contains over 30 specific instructions concerning our relationships to one another. And we've talked about this on Sunday morning in our Sunday school last Sunday. We'll talk again this Sunday about it. So we won't necessarily get too deep into it, I guess, this evening. That's at least not the direction that we're going on Sunday morning. But relationships are what life is about. And though relationships often can provide more stress, they can also produce greater fulfillment. They can lead to more heartache and yet bring more joy in our relationships. Being part of a local church allows us to form genuine friendships and healthy relationships and receive voluntary accountability. Being part of a local church enables us to bear one another's burdens. It builds a prayer network. It places us under the spiritual protection of godly leadership. Relationships in the local church provide us with benefits found nowhere else in the world, but they take effort. Take effort. It takes a commitment to gathering together. You can't have fellowship if you don't gather together. Togetherness has always been a characteristic of God's plan for His people, even in the Old Testament. Are you in Deuteronomy chapter 31 tonight? Are you in Deuteronomy chapter 31? Verse number 12, if you'll look there in Deuteronomy 31, verse number 12, he says, gather the people together. Gather the people together. And he's going to tell them that he wants to gather them together, that they can do three things. He said, gather men and women and children and thy stranger that is within thy gates, that they may look, here they are, that they may hear. What do you suppose that they were going to hear? They were going to hear the word of God. He tells us at the end, the words of this law. He tells us that they may hear and that they may learn and fear the Lord your God. And then the third thing is observe to do all the words of this law. It was important that they gather together to hear the word of God together. The New Testament emphasizes this. Hebrews 10:25, we hear it a lot, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together. And we're very familiar with that, no matter how that hits you, affects you. People probably think of that in the negative when God is using it very much so in a positive instance, an example, that it's important that we not forsake the assembling of ourselves together as a man of some is. Why? But exhorting one another, encouraging, building relationships and friendships, fellowshipping. And then the last part of the verse is important, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. I'll remind us every time I read this, we don't need less time together as Bible believers, as a New Testament church. As we see the day approaching, we need more time together, more time encouraging and praying. But most importantly, we need more time together around the Word of God. As you make your way back to the book of Acts, would you go to Proverbs chapter 25? On your way back to the book of Acts? There's nothing like having depended on someone who committed themselves to a task and then completely neglected it. I've worked in the secular world. Many of you do as well. And perhaps you've had that coworker that you had planned to have them help with whatever task it was, in the office, around the shop, wherever it was. And they weren't able to, they didn't come through. They flaked out, we would say. Listen, I don't want people to wonder in the church whether I'm going to be in my place. I don't want people to wonder if I'm going to fulfill my responsibilities. And I want people to know that I'm going to do it to the best of my ability. And I want people to know that I'm not going to gripe and complain about what God is allowing us to do here together. Proverbs chapter 25, and verse number 19. Talking about an unfaithful man. Confidence, it says, in an unfaithful man in time of trouble. Look what it says. It's like a broken tooth. Has anyone ever broken a tooth? That's the most uncomfortable thing because It always constantly reminds you that it's there. Air, cold, hot, anything reminds you that you've broken that tooth until it just dies and there's a cavity in there. But then it also says a foot out of joint. Has anyone ever dislocated a bone? I've dislocated my fingers most notably. I mean, I've probably dislocated ankles and things. There's nothing like that. It's a nagging thing. It's pretty much what he's telling us here is about this the sense of the nagging of the regret of confidence in an unfaithful man. I remember in Bible college, I played basketball all the time. And one summer I'd come home and in a job I had dislocated one of my thumbs right down here at this big joint down here. And then somewhere while we were playing basketball, I dislocated the other thumb. I'm just popped it out, popped it right back in, kind of a deal. Do you know you need your thumbs to do a lot? There's a story in the Bible about when they would capture kings, they would cut off their thumbs and their great toes. Man, I was reminded of why thumbs are important. If you don't have that, for one, it hurt all the time because you use your hands all the time. Two, I lost strength. I couldn't grasp things as well before. It just everything is just thrown out into disorder, basically. Confidence in an unfaithful man. Determine, church family, as we desire to be healthy, to be faithful where God has planted you, faithful to your church. Get to know one another. Be willing to talk to people that might not be in your demographic or your stage of life. Be willing to come out of your comfort zone a little bit. A commitment to gathering together. But not only that, we see there was a commitment to godly conduct. Are you still in Proverbs chapter 25? Go just a couple pages away to Proverbs chapter 27. There's a commitment to godly conduct. It ought to be, it's okay when we get together to talk about the things that interest us. But I came across this statement this afternoon, actually. It said, if the Lord and salvation are at the center of my life, when we get together, we'll talk about it. If we don't, it may reveal, he says, that he doesn't have the proper place in my life. In Acts chapter 2, we see the nature of their relationships was sincerity. It was holiness. They broke bread together. They prayed together. They found it natural to share in godly fellowship. Proverbs 27, are you there? Verse 17, this has been the theme for the last 2 years of our men's prayer breakfast. Proverbs 27, verse 17, iron sharpeneth iron, so a man sharpeneth the countenance, of his friends. He talks this evening tonight about a couple of different things. He talks about their graciousness towards one another, their graciousness. 30 times between Peter and Paul and John, 30 times they use one similar expression, different forms of the same expression, grace to you. Grace to you. Grace speaks of God's unmerited favor. And these men, it gives us the idea that they desired, wherever they were, that they could just be a conduit of God's grace. Paul challenged the Thessalonian believers in 1 Thessalonians 3 to increase and abound in love one toward another and toward all men. Gracious behavior stands in stark contrast to the mentality of our world. Gracious towards one another. Then he encourages them to be generous towards one another. Generous towards one another. Here it tells us that they sold possessions and goods, and we aren't instructed to do this as a principle, but we are to learn from their example, the generosity of their spirit. We're commanded to be sensitive and to be eager to meet the needs of those around us. Listen, church, there's three, I think these are fairly self-explanatory tonight. A healthy church is marked by a commitment to God and Him being preeminent through His Word, through time with Him, through worshiping Him. It's a commitment to God's people gathering together and treating one another graciously. And then thirdly this evening, before we take some time to pray, I want to remind you that a healthy church is marked by a commitment to God's heart. Not just to God, not just to His people, but to His heart. And I think verse 46 and 47, right there at the beginning of 46, kind of begins to paint the picture of a group of people who had sincere, unified hearts. It says, they continuing daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God. And what that did is it gave them favor with all the people. They weren't putting on a facade of politeness. They really cared about one another. They were thrilled to be together. They were thrilled to fellowship with one another. They were thrilled to meet one another's needs. They were thankful for what they got to do for the glory of God. A healthy church is marked by a commitment to God's heart. That's unity. And I'll remind us again, unity requires constant effort. Constant effort. I'd encourage you tonight, if you take some time tonight or maybe before Sunday, read Romans chapter 12. verse 16 through 21. He simply begins there, writing to the church at Rome, "Be of the same mind one toward another." One toward another. Unity doesn't happen accidentally. It requires effort. It requires humble hearts. It requires a willingness to forgive. Listen, maintaining unity sometimes requires thick skin. Not just in our homes and in our relationships, but in the church. In the church. The key to unity is not finding perfect people. People are flawed. The key is working day by day at the relationships God has placed in our lives with those imperfect people. Unity requires constant effort. Unity, he tells us here, that unity also results in a consistent witness. A consistent witness. It's really no coincidence that these gracious, generous, unified Christians, this unified church found favor. The Bible says that they would. People who needed the Lord, people who were lost without God, took note of these grace-filled believers and said to themselves, "That's what I'm looking for." In fact, Jesus said, "By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another." We need one another. The Christian life can't be lived in isolation. God created us to relate to one another. We must be steadfast in our commitment to His Word, the truths, the doctrines therein. We must be steadfast in our commitment to one another, to sensitive to the needs around us. We must cultivate and protect unity. But listen, church family, a healthy church begins with church members with a consuming passion for the Lord Jesus Christ. A key sign of a healthy church is that it is devoted to Him. It's devoted to Jesus. No church is perfect. But as we continually devote ourselves to the Lord through His Word, through prayer, through worship, as we devote ourselves to fellowship with His people, He desires to use us for His honor and glory, and He unites us together. He unites us together. The interesting thing is, and we'll be done, I promise, is that this text today is recorded in history when the Holy Spirit was doing wonderful things because believers had sold out to the will of God, to the work of God, to God's leading in their life. But it wasn't because everything was rosy and happy and everything was going well. There was still great persecution in this church we'll learn about in the coming weeks as we look at the book of Acts. But I think what we see that's most prominent in the life of this early church is they're praising God together, their joy together, they're worshiping God together because of the grace of God that they had known, that they had experienced. But primarily because they had spent that time in prayer seeking God's will, surrendering their own hearts and their own lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. The marks of a healthy church. I want to be a healthy church member. I want us to have a healthy church. It's amazing to think about the potential that God has, that is here, that God can use for in our community and around the world. And I hope you desire that He does just that. Well, we're going to pray. We're going to take just a few minutes to pray this evening, and then as we're done, we'll be dismissed. And if you make your way to the foyer tonight, we'd appreciate that. If you can stay and help move some of the stuff down the stairs from Kids Blast, we'd appreciate that as well. But let's have a time of prayer this evening. Heavenly Father, be with these few moments as we come before You and lift these requests. There are many, many needs tonight on hearts, and I pray that You'd help us to be aware, sensitive, and committed to praying for one another, sensitive to the needs of one another, many health needs, personal needs, spiritual needs, and unspokens as well. Help us to be consistent in that. Help us to desire tonight. Perhaps we can take our own health evaluation in our own hearts and lives tonight, how committed we are to being a healthy church member. A healthy church does not exist without healthy church members. Help us to desire to be all that You would have for us from Your Word tonight. Be honored and glorified in our life and our living. Be with these few moments together. In Jesus' name, amen.